now for a moment in prayer as we ready our hearts for God's word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, first of all, we thank you that as you have come to empower our lives, you have given us all the strength that is needed to finish this task upon this earth. You have not called us to come and fail, but you've called us to come and to succeed and to walk the journey of faith throughout this whole life. Though we will be faced with doubt, we know that you will build within us faith that is greater. And we lift up every heart that's gathered here today, Lord. If there's any doubt that's warring against us, which all of us at times deal with doubt, help us handle it by the instruction of your word. Move me out of the way, Lord. The things that you want said today, let them be said. And come, anoint me by the power of your Holy Spirit to say what your heart desires. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Again, the title of today's message is Dominating Doubt, Perseverance. This series that we've been going through, we've been looking at how doubt is overcome by the gifts that God equips us with. Chapter 1 of James, starting with verse 2, we read, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces," and let's say this word together, "perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Look again. How many of us here this morning want to live a life on this earth that allows the full maturity that God can give us to not just be a thought, but be a reality in our lives, and to live upon this earth in a complete way that is ordered by God, not lacking anything? See, God has fully equipped us to overcome doubt. You're walking through a season right now where doubt seems to overshadow faith. It happens. Life hits us. Trials come. And it challenges that which we've placed our trust in. I heard a study just the other day that over 70% of young people that come out of a home of faith, when they grow up and they move out of the home, go to college, almost 70% have that questioning of that faith and turn away for a period of time in their lives. How sad it is when faith is overcome by doubt. But God has equipped us for this enemy called doubt. See, God has freely given us the gift of joy and the gift of faith to overcome and to dominate doubt. Remember what we talked about, joy, that in the middle of the doubt, we should look for joy because God will give us joy through those seasons. It's a strength that comes, and it is there. It is a promise from God. It doesn't mean that it's happiness. It means there's joy, that we can see the light of God in the trials. But not only that, that gift of faith comes, and when the gift of faith comes, we need to thank God for this very thing. When faith comes, faith will always be tested. So if our faith is not tested, maybe we're not plugged into our faith correctly. So faith will be tested, but faith is not within our limitations. It is a gift offered to us by God. The gifts that God gives are always complete. See, God has empowered our faith with perseverance. He didn't make us people that quickly drop off the path. He did not give us a gift that will run out when trouble comes. He has made faith so complete that we stand when the trials and the testings come, and we see perseverance live out. Think about it this way. Faith that does not persevere is doubt. It's easy to quit. It's strength to continue. And when doubt comes in and it has its way and we stay in it, the faith that we once said we would die for now has somehow turned in to doubt. Faith without perseverance is simply doubt. Without joy, doubt will dominate our lives. Been there? I'm sick of this thing. God, if this is what life's about, then I just forget about you, God. If this is what life's going to give me, I'll just live it all by myself and not even think about you. But see, God sees us in those times, and he is faithful to come into what? To give us joy. Joy, it's there. Look for it. See it. It is there. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How cruel it would be for God to say, consider it joy, and not provide the joy for us. God doesn't play games with us. Though life makes us feel we're walking through torment, though some kind of unfair, which life is not fair, experiment is being done on us, God does not give us his word without giving provision so that it can be lived out in us. When he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, he will provide the joy. He will show you where it is. See, without faith, doubt will dominate our lives. God sees our lacking of faith. And in his love for us as his children, God gives us what? Faith. It's not up to us. Our responsibility is say, yes, live in me, O faith of God. But it isn't up to us to provide its power. God provides the consistency of his gift of faith in us. Because you know, verse 3 of James chapter 1, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Without testing, there is no perseverance. And without perseverance, we miss the completion that God wants to do in us. See, again, without perseverance, doubt will dominate our lives. I just give up. I quit. Without perseverance, doubt will come in and laugh at our quitting. God gives us power, though, to persevere. In verse 4 of James chapter 1 makes it so plain. Let perseverance finish its what? Its work. You've been worked out this week. It's been a challenging week. It's been a challenging year. You know, sometimes when we come on a new year and I look at it, 2017. And I had somebody tell me one time, and don't get mad at me when I say this. Somebody told me, I can't remember which year it was, 2015 is going to be a great year. What they didn't understand is 2014 was not a great year, and things were escalating. So I started thinking, man, what is that year hold in store? Because we know this, stuff is going to come upon us. But may we always be reminded that the trials are not there to destroy us, that perseverance is given so that the completion of our character, our spiritual maturity, everything can be brought into proper order through the testing of our faith. Again, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So I look at it this way. I can't be complete, I cannot be spiritually mature, and I will lack a whole lot of stuff unless I persevere, unless I walk in faith, and unless I learn to see the joy that God provides. God has given us stewardship over these gifts of joy, faith, and perseverance. And upon our lives, he's given us the power to say yes or no. We have what? Free will. Look at James chapter 1, verse 4 again. What's that first word in that verse? That's a powerful word, isn't it? Let perseverance finish its work. You ever had somebody, like your doctor, say, you need to do this? And then you sit down. You need to quit eating a whole row of Oreo cookies before you go to bed at night. I still remember a friend of mine told me his daddy was as thin as could be, but his blood pressure was skyrocketing. And the doctor was confused. This man looks so healthy, but his blood pressure is out the roof. And he started thinking, diet, diet, diet. He says, what do you consume during the day? And his dad would go to Sam's and buy Kit Kats by the case. And he would eat like 4 Kit Kat bars a day. Easily. And the doctor said, bingo, it's the Kit Kat bars. And he told him, you got to quit eating the Kit Kat bars. And he had to do what? Let the doctor's advice be applied. And guess what he did? He let go of the Kit Kat bars. And his blood pressure balanced out. It's amazing, that power. But God says it's a free will. Will you let perseverance finish its work? What's the consequences if we don't? We don't become spiritually mature. We live the incomplete life, and we lack the things that God wants to give us. See, let is a powerful word again. It means to allow, to permit. And God comes, he will not force his will upon us, but he gives us the opportunity for it to live out in us. When the testing of our faith comes, what happens to the stewardship of our faith? How do we handle it when it comes? Do we quickly surrender it? Do we let perseverance finish its work? You know, that's a hard thing to think about, but Ron is going to have fun with that debit card sometime this week. Especially if Tammy doesn't say, it's going here, son. Right? He held on. He did. He held on. And you didn't let him win, did you? He said, no. He's getting baptized today, so I think I'm going to let him win. Y'all talk about it afterwards. Antoine, did you let him win? No, that sweat's still coming off your head right there. That's right. Can we let, or do we let perseverance finish its work? Next time the week's turning difficult, the trials are coming at you, think of it this way. God's trying to produce something in me. God's trying to mature me spiritually. God's trying to cause this life not to lack. So the pressures, the trials are coming. Help me persevere. And just like the gentleman stood with Ron and held his arms up, he, like he said, he could be holding those water gallons right now, right? It'd be a challenge, but he would be doing it. May have had a couple of people come in to give relief, but it would still be steady and straight. If you have your Bibles again with you today, I want us to look at the parable of the sower today. In Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 5, this is a parable that Jesus taught. And I know we've heard it before, but let's just walk through it again. Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, again, the words of Jesus, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Now we move to verse 11 now. Jesus brings the meaning of this parable to his disciples because yet the eyes of those listening had not been opened. But because Christ has already prepared our hearts to be good soil, we can understand the meaning of this parable. But let's look close. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is, and let's say this together, the Word of God. You ever thought about God's Word being like a seed? Where God has allowed us this day to be in a gathering where we are bringing honor to Him and we look at His Scripture as His breath. Do you know there are a lot of people that never ever get to a place where they even respect the Bible and the Word of God? So they can't receive it because they have no respect for it. But this morning, which is our response for when the Word of God has come to us? Let's go to the next verse. Verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Now, that's a sad image. Here, the word of God is brought to a human heart. And God says in this parable, the words of Christ, it's like Satan comes and just snatches it away. It's laying on just hard surface, and the birds come as well. God is reminding us it is only by mercy that our hearts receive His word. Only by mercy. And here's the other thing. We are in a spiritual warfare. I find it interesting. There are a lot of very creative writers today producing all kinds of television shows. Some are very good, some are very bad. But one thing I see, a theme that rises, is looking beyond just this dimension and looking that there may be another dimension around us. When you see it, you may think, oh, that's science fiction, but the Bible tells us there's activity all around us that we can't see. You believe that? Jesus said it. Some people, the word comes, Satan comes and snatches it from them. Just because we can't see it with our physical eyes doesn't mean it's not happening. And the problem arises is when we live in one dimension and forget about the other dimension. Because there is warfare around us, and the goal of the enemy is to keep us from being impacted by the Word of God. And he does it in many, many ways. See, one dimension reaches out to the other dimension and tries to manipulate the ones that we do see to change how we respond to God's word. That's called demonic warfare. It's talking about a strategy that though we don't see it, it's still going around. But here, this scaredy cat little pastor. I used to have some bad nightmares at night. I did. But then God reminded me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That Satan has to flee at the very name of Jesus. It's no competition. No competition. So we do not have to be fearful about the enemy, but we need to be wise about his strategy. And his strategy is to harden the heart, to rob us from the word of God, and to let us be where we're not complete. One way he does that is cause us and lead us to be people that do not persevere. Verse 13 now. This, talking about the word of God, the seed, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. That's sometimes everybody that went to church on Sunday morning and just shouting the hallelujahs. And then when they get out of church, they're shouting some other words that start with an H, right? And some other creative words. Get excited about it. Why? Because I know it's what? Real. It's good to get excited about something that's real, isn't it? But it doesn't mean it's real inside me. Just because I acknowledge it's real doesn't mean it's real inside me. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for what? A while. Till the keys come out of the purse and they start to jingle. Ignition started, heading away from church. Back in the car, the fighting starts again. Look at it closely. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they what? They fall away. Perseverance quickly fades. It doesn't last in that setting. It's a divided heart. Though I know it's real, it can't. Why can't it be real in me? Because my heart is divided. I'm not bought in. I'm not bought in. I'm not letting it grow what God wants to let it grow. Why? Because I'm not persevering in it. Now let's look at 14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. Again, responding. But as they go there, that's such an important part. As they go on what? Their way. Can we live by God's word if we simply go on our way? The worship that God wants us to give is when we say, Lord, may I live your way. That's the thing. May I live your way. Because your way is a protection to me. Your way guards me. Your way makes me complete. But look again. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries. This is an odd list here. Choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Isn't that a strange series of statements? We can understand why they would be choked by worries. Because worry will overwhelm us. But riches and pleasures, what's wrong with those? What God is telling us, the riches of this earth are fading. They don't bring substance to us. Oh, they'll bring us a new car, a new house, new clothes. Yeah, they'll bring us some prestige. But they will not bring what is lasting. And if they are our way, meaning we put them before, or those before God's way, then we have a problem with perseverance. Because our heart there again is divided, and then even the pleasures. Nothing wrong to have the pleasures of the Lord in our life. But if all we do is seek to bring pleasure to the flesh, we get a wrong focus. There's no pleasures greater than the pleasures of the Lord. But the pleasures that will be the thorn in our heart is when we allow the pleasures of this earth to supersede our desire to have the pleasures of the Lord. And you better believe that word pleasure carries a lot of authority because it knows how to trigger our steps. But may we, again, persevere and see life as God perceives it, and not be overcome by the thorns that will come. Verse 15, now, look at this. But the seed on what? Good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop, and as it said earlier in the parable, 100 times more than what? Sown. Now, when I look at that scripture, you know I see a little bit of a problem. Who's got a good heart? For years in Christianity, we've kind of subbed things up. Oh, that's bad seed, that's good seed. And we weren't talking about the Word of God. You just bad, you good. And we walk around with our head up, our chin up in the air, thinking somehow we're just better than everybody. And you know what they call that? They call that piety. They call that a religious spirit. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Because the word that I read tells me that when I was born, even mama's baby, I was born, and I am mama's baby. So are you, Ron? I was born with a fallen heart that was not good. And until that heart was exposed for what it was, I don't care how clean I tried to live or good I tried to live, God perceived it as that which was not good soil. So here's the thing. Because of what Jesus has done, he gives us a new heart, which is the good soil. So don't build on what you were born with. Build on what God wants to give you. And that's a new heart. And that is the freedom. You know, there are a lot of really nice, good people. When I say good people, they're just good folks. And they're trying their best to let God do his work in them, but they're trying from the wrong soil. They're just good at being good. You ever met anybody like that? They're just nice. They're nice. They're genuinely nice. But they're not born again. They're not born again. But the seed of God's word, when it comes, is it finding the new heart that Jesus died to give us? And is persevering producing the crop that God has intended? I want us to look at this real quick this morning. See, the fruit of the Spirit is born out of perseverance. Looks like this. Love shines bright in the face of hate. When has love really stood out to you in a way that just made you know, that ain't me, that's God? And in most cases, it came when hate was being poured out upon you and you thought about the old school method, and all of a sudden love comes in your heart and love is seen for what it is, because it's not of you, it's of God. But it was the hate that came that let you see that. Again, love shines really bright in the face of hate. How about this? Joy, fruit of the Spirit, restores in the trials of despair. How sweet is joy when you don't have strength to reach out and grab it? How sweet is joy when everything on the list that you see at this time is negative? Not what you asked for, not what you wanted, but somehow joy comes in there. And how precious is joy in the trials of despair. I guarantee there are folks here this morning that are here this morning because joy showed up. And what I'm talking about, the trials were trying to lie to you so that you would end your life. Somebody tells you, I never thought about killing myself, they may have a problem with lying. They might. I'm not saying they do, but they might. I'm not saying long thoughts. I'm talking about fleeting thoughts. Just wish I was. Sometimes that wishing turns into action. But the continuance came because joy showed up in the trials of despair. How about this? The fruit of the Spirit, again, is born out of perseverance. Peace is the answer when trouble pours in. Man, how good is peace when calamity and attitude is raging? God, it's all coming in on me, but peace comes. In fact, you're navigating simply because the fruit of the Spirit of peace came so that you wouldn't totally lose it. Again, peace is the answer when trouble pours in. The fruit of the Spirit is born out of perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Let's look at mature real quick. Maturity aligns our heart to the right priorities. In Romans chapter 2, verse 7, it tells us this. To those who by, what's that word? Persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give what? Eternal life. Do you think there's some answers in that one verse right there? There's a whole lot of them. In fact, I almost didn't put this in here because I didn't want to keep y'all here till 2 o'clock. Did you pack a lunch? Now, here we go. Look at this real close. I'm going to run through this quick. To those who by persistence in doing good seek, think about that word, glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. Doing good. What does it mean, doing good? Doing the things that are of the heart of God. Seeking glory. Seek glory. What does that mean? Trying to win attention to ourselves. No. The highest glory that we can give God is fulfilling his purpose that he's placed in us. We're not a waste of space. We're breathing because God gave us our time right now upon this earth. Went to a friend of mine who pastors here in Columbia, his birthday party last night. And I still see this image in my mind. I've known him since I was early 20s. And here the birthday cake rose. And in the middle of the birthday cake, his wife planted two numbers. And I still see it right now in my mind's eye. And it said 5-0. And then somebody asked me when I was coming in, how old are you, Pastor? And I said, I'm 50, 55. Something about 55 just doesn't seem peppy. It doesn't. And then I'm looking at my friend, because he was in that image, and I'm looking at that 5-0 on his cake, and I'm thinking, man, time goes by really, really quick. Very quick. I don't want to waste it missing the life that is meant to fulfill the purpose that God has given me and has given each of us here today. So do good. Do the will of God. Let the living word have good ground, which is a new life, a new heart. Seek glory. Fulfill the purpose that God has placed in you. And seek honor. Nothing. I looked at my friend last night and I pulled him aside. And I told him, his name's Ray. And I said, Ray, I said, you have been a phenomenal steward of the 50 years God has given you. He's such a sharp guy. He's an extremely intelligent man. And everything Ray has done throughout his life that I've witnessed, he's done with excellence and he's done with all of his heart. And I said, Ray, you have been such a wonderful example to me. Because in life, we all going to mess up. We're going to mess up. But how refreshing it is when people are forging ahead, moving ahead in a way that gives honor to God. And Lord, in our lives, may we seek to honor you with our decisions, with our words, with our responses. May we seek again to do good, to seek glory, to seek honor of you, so that when people look at our lives, they think God is real rather than what a phony. What a phony. I want my life to bring honor to God. And then this is one that we sometimes miss. Seek immortality. Seek immortality. Basically, it's saying this. Don't let all your energy and your drive be just about what happens here. Now, we need to do well here. But what we do here needs to extend to immortality, to the life beyond just what we're feeling right here. I promise you this. One day, we're going to see each other on the other side, all right? Those that have held on, we're going to see each other on the other side. And I don't want to be the one, well, why didn't you say it? Because I was so focused about here and now. Seek immortality. seek building the life that reaches beyond the now, but into the everlasting. And we see it here again. And He, God, will give eternal life to those that do. Let's read back it. Let's look at the verse one more time. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. Think about those as being life goals. He will give eternal life. That's what a new heart looks like. That's what seed planted in the good ground looks like. Verse 4 again of James chapter 1. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What did I complain about this week? Something I didn't have. Something that didn't go right. Is that the energy that poured out of me this week? Or has it been that way this whole year, that all I'm thinking about is all the bad stuff? Is that it? Press through. Let perseverance do its work. Let the testing of your faith do its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Let perseverance complete its work so that you may be complete. See, doubt comes and says, I'm going to block God's work in you. Satan sows his seed, and his seed is the seed of doubt. And he says, I'm going to put so much doubt in their heart that they're not even going to be able to see God. But see, he doesn't own you. He doesn't have authority over what Christ has called to do in your life, has chosen to do in your life. Let perseverance finish his work. You give up this week? What'd you turn to? What'd you turn to if you gave up? And think about the fruit of what we may have turned to. What did we turn to? Because it has fruits as well. And those fruits, do they involve doing what is good, what brings glory to God, what brings honor to God, and what brings about the completion of what God wants to accomplish in us? Only through perseverance will God's design be fulfilled in us. Again, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's a very bold statement, not lacking anything. And tell me if you think this is fair. As followers of Christ, we should be the most fulfilled people on earth. Think about that a minute. As followers of Christ, we should be the most fulfilled people on earth. Does God have everything that we need? Yes, He does. Does God have the precision to know exactly what we need? He does. God will bring about fulfillment. And we as believers should be at peace and should be so fulfilled if we will allow perseverance to accomplish its work. Fulfillment is impossible without perseverance. So this morning, refuse to quit. In this journey, in the trials, in the challenges, refuse to quit. Permit perseverance to finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Isn't that a lot of hope? So much hope. Let perseverance finish its work so that doubt does not dominate in your life, in my life. And this morning we give glory to God, for He has presented to us the gift of joy to stand the trials. We give glory to God because he has come and placed within us a faith that perseveres through the trials so that God's accomplishments will happen in us. God will provide. As we bow this morning in prayer, I'm going to ask if Ron, if you and Ty will exit now to prepare for baptism. And as we bow in prayer, may we ask, if this is in your heart, in fact, can we just stand to our feet for a minute? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If this is in your heart today to proclaim to the Lord, know that our words, our prayers are not falling on deaf ears, but they go directly to the heart of the one who formed us, the one who has given us new life. Lord, plant your word in this new heart you have given me. If that's in your heart today, say, Lord, let the word of God have its full development in me. Find good soil because you have made the heart new, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we stand this morning and we come against the hardened heart. And we pray that we would have wisdom to the spiritual warfare that wars around us. For the one here this morning that is fully aware that the pressures that you've been through have been that of a strategic attack from the enemy. God has made it clear to you this isn't a game, it's real. So may we take it serious, not in fear, but in hope of what God is able to do. Lord Jesus, let us see the enemy's schemes before they have fruit in us. And we come against a heart that is so hardened that the word of God does not penetrate. And we ask this morning that you would stop and heal the divided heart so we don't just hear the word and get excited and then quickly exit when the trials come. Let us not be divided, Lord. Amen. Give us an undivided heart. If that's in you today, just ask God. Amen. Lord, I know you're real. Amen. Don't want to play games. I'm tired of getting in and getting out. I want to stay, Lord. I want your work done. And this morning, Lord, we also pray that the weeds of this life, the thorns that come, will not overcome the work that you want to accomplish in us. To the worries this morning, we pronounce the peace of Christ. Give those worries to God. Give those worries to God, because he is more than able to take them and to give you peace in return. The worries that keep you up at night, the worries that cloud your vision, your understanding, those are thorns. Exit them, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. If that's in your heart today, ask him. Take them, Lord. Take them. I trust you. I trust you, Lord.